I know. I know. Troy doesn't want me that close, but too bad. You know you're in trouble if I pull it and put it right in front of you. Then. How's everyone today? Good, good. We're studying through James right now, and I got to tell you, I love James. He is a straight shooter. When he writes, he just tells you what it is. It's one of the great things about the way God wrote the Bible. He had different men write. And so when you read different letters, when you read Paul's writing, you get Paul's style. When you read Peter's writing, you get Peter's style. When you read James, you get it right between the eyes because he kind of comes right at you. Sometimes when you see that, you kind of go, well, maybe James is just too harsh. He's too tough. But I don't think that's the reason that James writes that way. James is really concerned about the church, and so he doesn't want to mince words and have you walk away uncertain. He wants you to know exactly what it is he's saying. And so he doesn't want to have you miss the point, because in his mind, he's concerned about being certain that you understand your obedience, your need for obedience before God. Today we're going to be looking at James 3, 1 through 12. So if you'll join me there in James 3, let's read the first 12 verses of James 3. It says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct the entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also, the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. For from the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send forth from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh." James starts out here and he gives a caution to those who are teachers. And it's not because he wants to tell people not to be teachers. It's because he wants to warn them that when you become a teacher, you are taking on a greater responsibility. Because your study is not for yourself, but it's for those to whom you're teaching. And so he gives this warning because the duty of teachers is much more important. And so with that, I think we should stop and pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. You are so awesome. And your word has been given to us, Father, so that we might know and understand the things you want us to know. And so I ask this morning that you would prepare our hearts and open them, that we might hear what you have to say to us and understand it and apply it in our lives, that we might not be only hearers of the word, but that we might also be doers. And Father, I pray that you will speak through me this morning, that whatever I say would come from you, that I would not say anything that would not bring glory and honor unto Jesus Christ, our King. I ask this in his name. Amen. So James starts out and he goes through this point that everyone stumbles. And it's a good point. In fact, Paul in Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So this concept that James is pointing out here isn't really new. It isn't unique. He's saying, look, remember, we all stumble. But then he takes one more step. And he says, listen to me. If you could control your tongue, then you are on the pathway to perfection. That's an interesting comment, isn't it? That if you could control your tongue, you could control the whole body. And I was thinking about that. Comes basically from verses 17 to 20, but let me share a couple of snippets out of this. Jesus is with his disciples, and the Pharisees come to him and they go, "How come your guys don't wash their hands before they eat? We all wash our hands before we eat. We're very clean." And Jesus says this to them. Now listen. He says, "You hypocrites. Rightly did Isaiah prophesy about you. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." And Jesus called the crowd to him, and he said to them, "Hear and understand. It is not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of his mouth that defiles him." And afterwards, his disciples came and said, "Can you explain that to us? That doesn't quite make sense." And he said, "Listen." So in verse 17 now, we drop down. He says, "Don't you understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, faultlessness, slanders. These are the things which defile man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile you." So Jesus makes this great point, and this is why James is sharing with us the desire that he has that we learn to control what we say. Because he realizes if you learn to control what you say, it is because God is in control of your heart. And if God is in control of your heart, then you are on your way to being perfect as God is perfect. Right? So the problem isn't really the words that come out of your mouth. The problem is where do those words come from? And they come from your heart. So if your heart is right with God, the words that come out of your mouth will be right with God. If your heart is not right with God, what will come out of your heart will lead to destruction. And that's what James is writing to us about, and he's trying to share to us this important issue. Now, I know sometimes we can bite our tongue, and we can avoid saying things that we know we shouldn't, even though in our heart that might be what we're thinking. But we really shouldn't have to shorten our tongue continuously to live right with God. What we ought to do is let God control our heart, and then we won't have to worry about what comes out of our mouth. And James now is going to give us some examples, and some great ones that we look at. He gives us five kind of examples here of what comes out of your mouth and why. And an interesting thing is, that James points out to us, there are some times that the tongue works for God, and there are other times the tongue works in opposition to him. And so we're going to look at five of these things that he talks about here, and we're going to identify that these are the things he's trying to share with us. The tongue can be used for both good and for evil, and we're going to deal with that. So the first thing he shares with us is that the tongue is like the bit of a horse, okay? Now, you know, when I was about 8 or 9 years old, somewhere around there, I was back east in Pennsylvania at my grandmother's farm, and my aunt was trying to put the cows back into the barn, and one of the cows wasn't really receptive to the idea and didn't want to go. So my aunt looks at me and says, "Just whack it on the rear end, and it'll go in the barn. Now, I got three older brothers. I don't hit things that are bigger than me because I know what happens when you do that. And she said, don't worry about it. She walks over and she takes a stick and just whacks it on the tail, and off it went. Boy, that's pretty amazing. She has control over that whole animal. And that's what James's point here is. He says, look at a horse. Now, a horse is not a small animal. It's a big animal. But you take a little piece of steel, I don't know, what is it, 5 or 6 inches long, and you put it in the mouth of the horse, and you attach the reins through the bridle to it, and you can move that horse wherever you want it to go. And he says, see, a very little thing controls the whole body. And that's an amazing thing that we need to understand. And then he goes on and he says, think about a ship. And he says, a ship, this massive ship, sails all over the place and it's pushed around by the winds, yet this little rudder on the back controls it. You know, the Queen Elizabeth was 83,673 tons. That's a lot of weight. The rudder weighs a mere 140 tons. That's big when you compare it to a Chevy. But it's not big when you compare it to the boat. It's a little tiny. It's less than 0.2% of the weight of the boat. And yet the pilot controls that boat wherever he wants it to go by using that little rudder. And James says the tongue is the same way for you, because your tongue controls your direction. So he gives us this tremendous differential between the size of what's being moved and the item that's causing the moving. And he says the tongue is what does this. Now, we don't think too much about our tongue. We don't think about what our speech is. And that's what James's point is. The tongue controls everything. Controls the whole body, like the bit controls the whole horse, and like the rudder controls the whole boat. Your speech controls the direction. You can bring speech that's beautiful and encouraging and wonderful and uplifting, or you can bring speech that is detrimental and deceiving and lying and evil. And he says you need to get control over that and understand that difference. In verse 5, James now takes this to the next step, and he goes, let's look at the opposite side of the coin, because we first looked at two things, riding a horse and running a boat, that are both beneficial. If you control the horse, you can ride it where you want, you can put it in front of a wagon, you can put it in front of a plow, you can do amazing things because of it. If you can control a boat, you can move product all over the world. And you can control all kinds of economics and all kinds of power and strength and greatness and goodness. There's a boat that, and I forget the name of it, I was talking to a friend of mine a few weeks ago, that is filled with Christian material, and it goes all over the world. And it pulls into ports and it provides materials all over the world that they wouldn't be able to get any other way. And here comes this boat with it. Imagine the good that we do with those things. And James says, those are great things. But he says, be careful, because that same tongue that does those good things also does evil. And he compares the tongue to a little flame that causes a huge fire. Now, here about 9 days ago, we had a little fire off the side of the road. And that fire burned 37,000 acres, and it's still burning. And it destroyed over 20 houses, and it killed a man because it was so fierce. Cameron and I went up the road when it had first started, and we walked up and watched, and it burned about 3/4 of a mile in 8 minutes. It blew through there so fast, I've never seen anything like it. It is amazing the power and the ferociousness that fire has. And it comes from a little tiny flame. And James says, you know what? That's exactly like the tongue. The tongue starts out and we say, oh, it's a little white lie. We don't really think much about what we said. They'll get over it. But you know what? Those little things that we say, those things that we don't think much about, become the basis for huge destruction. And things that become unimaginable in the damage that they cause. Because we don't bother to control the words that we say, the things that come out of our mouth. And James goes on with this and he says, look, you may say that it's nothing. But go back to chapter 1, verse 15, what James says. James says there that our lust conceives and gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings death. So when we allow our lust to come out of our mouth, that starts that fire that ultimately can lead to death. And that's what James is warning about. He's saying, stop that, because what starts out as a little thing of inconsequence becomes a huge monster that's uncontrollable. And when it's uncontrollable, the damage is unbelievable. So we have to look at that. And James actually goes on to say that it is hell that sets that fire in motion. That's what Satan wants to have happen. Satan wants you to say that little thing. Satan wants you to stick that little word out there, that little phrase out there, that little comment out there, or that little discussion that you have. I was reading a great story. And the guy says, this is what this is like. A woman goes to her friend and she says, you know, Tilly, I am really mad at you because you went and told Martha what I told you not to tell her. And she says, that Martha, she is something I told her not to tell you that I told her. And she says, well, that's okay. Don't tell her because I told her I wouldn't tell you that you told me that you told her. And it's just a big round robin. And you think about it, but that's the way it acts. We start out with something that's just a little bit, but don't say anything. And the next thing you know, everybody knows about it. And now it's a big thing. And that's what James is saying. You guys got to control that. And you can't do that by yourself. He goes on and he compares the tongue to a wild beast. And he makes an amazing statement here. He says, the tongue is like a wild beast. He says, you know what? We have tamed every species of creature on earth. Now, we haven't tamed everything that's there, but we're missing the point then. James's point is, we can go out and we can tame all these animals. We can take control of them and cause them to do whatever we want them to do, but we're too stupid to control the little piece of flesh that flaps around behind our teeth. Isn't that amazing? What we can control when we put our mind to it, the ability that we have, and yet we refuse to put that in place in our own lives. And James is saying this can't be in God's kingdom. It's not acceptable. It's not what we want to have happen. And James isn't doing this because he doesn't like you or because he's trying to be mean. He's trying to warn us. He's trying to encourage us to change that behavior. He's not just trying to hit us, even though sometimes when I read James, that's kind of the way I feel. I feel like, James, have you been following around behind me? And now you're going to tell me what I've been doing. And James takes the final shot here at the tongue, if you will. He states that the tongue is a restless evil full of poison. Boy, when he puts it that way, you kind of want to take those scissors and cut it out of your mouth and get rid of it, because that would be better than leaving that in your mouth. But what he says is that the tongue is what causes or brings out the gossip, or the mudslinging, or the belittling, or the hurtful speech, or the other things that we do that only hurt. They never help, ever. And they shouldn't be allowed to come out of our mouths. And I'm not, Somebody told me once, be careful when you point your finger because there's three pointing back at you. Because every time we look at this, we have to say, where is that in my life? Because I need to get that out of my life. And that's why James wrote this letter, was to get these things out of our life. It doesn't benefit any body of believers to allow ourselves to be like that. So what's the solution to that? The solution to that is prayer. The solution to that is go to God. The solution to that is say, God, you be in control in my heart, because that's where all of this comes from. So if God is in control in my heart, then everything that comes out of my mouth will come through the filter of God, not through the filter of Rick. Because the filter of Rick is like a sieve. There are holes through that like you wouldn't believe. The filter of God controls everything. And when he's in control of my heart, the things that come out of my mouth then are the things of God. That's what we want to see. James makes this great point about our speech. He points us that God, that we use our speech to bless God and to curse men. What's interesting is he says, but men were created by God in his image. And so we're cursing God and we're cursing God. I mean, we're blessing God and we're cursing God. We bless God over here and we curse his creation. When you curse his creation, I hate to tell you, you're cursing the creator. So we may say that, oh, I'm cursing Rick, that dirty, rotten guy. But the reality is, because I was created by God, you're cursing the creation. When you curse the creation, you curse the creator. We better be careful what we say. And James says man was created in God's image, so we should be blessing God and we should be blessing his creation. This is what's acceptable. And when we do the opposite, there's no excuse for it. You know, that's the hard part. And this is the thing, this is why James tends to come off as somewhat harsh. But he's reminding us, you know what? There isn't an excuse for sin. Because God says in his word, you will not be tempted beyond what you are able to overcome. And every time there is a temptation, there is a way out. Now, those two things sound great, and they are great, but they also come with a warning that because there is a way out and because you can overcome all temptation, there is no excuse for me when I sin. When I sin, it is not because God didn't give me an out, or it is not because God wasn't there to help me, or it's not because it was too hard for me. And when you get to heaven, you are not going to be able to use your whole slew of butt monkeys to God about how come you did these sins. Because you're not going to be saying, well, but God, you don't know what it was like. But God, you don't understand what I went through. But God, you don't realize how difficult things were for me. And God will look at his son and go, were you ever falsely accused? Were you ever wrongfully put to death? Did you ever have to suffer on behalf? And then you will realize that there is no excuse for our sin. Fortunately, because Jesus Christ died on the cross, there's salvation for our sin. There is redemption for our sin. It has all been paid for. Amen to that. Because we would be lost without it. But the fact is, there's no excuse. There is redemption, however. There is salvation, and that's what it's all about. So James isn't doing this so he can beat me with a stick. He's doing this to encourage us and to say, look, there's a solution to all this, and the solution is Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus Christ is in your heart, when Jesus Christ fills you up, when Jesus Christ is in control, then the things that will come out of your heart will no longer defile you. The things that will come out of your heart will encourage you. They will lift you up. And they will do the same for the people who you're talking to. They will lift up those people. They will encourage those people. They will give them strength. They will lead them the way that God wants them to go. And guess what? When your tongue is leading the way God wants you to go, the whole body follows behind. And that's true both of me physically, it's also true of a congregation. When God is leading, then the whole body follows where he wants it to go. That's what we want to see, and that's what James is encouraging us to do. James goes on and he makes a comparison here. He comes down and he says, from the same fountain does not produce fresh water and bitter water or salt water. Now, there are places in the world where the two rivers come together and it kind of mixes the two, but that's not a fountain, and that's not what James is talking about. James says you don't go to a fountain and find 1 minute that it's fresh, and the next minute it's producing salt water, and then it's back to fresh, and then it's back to salt water. And yet that's exactly the way our mouth is. 1 minute I'm talking blessings to God, the next minute I'm talking something else. And he says that shouldn't be. That's not the way God created things. That's the way we allow things to become. He goes on and he makes the comparison to plants. He says, you don't get olives from a fig tree. Now, I know, because I've planted some trees, you get whatever fruit that tree makes. It's really great. Imagine if you put a tree in and you had to wait to see the fruit came off to see what you were going to get. Now, it'd be kind of interesting, but you'd never know what you were going to get. But God says, no. In fact, in Genesis 1, throughout the creation time, he says, and each one will reproduce according to its kind. That's the way he created it. So when you plant an orange tree, you will get oranges. When you plant a fig tree, you will get figs. If you plant grapevines, you will get grapes. And you know what? Even if you plant an orange tree in the middle of a fig grove, it will not ever produce figs. Now, we had some flowering plum trees, and we planted them next to a fruit-bearing plum tree, and eventually the flowering plum trees began to produce fruit, which was kind of interesting. But they were still plums. It didn't start producing apricots or oranges or anything else. And James says that's the way God created things. And so he says we're going against God's creation when we allow our tongue to produce bad fruit, because that's not what he intended from us. And so he goes back and he reminds us and he says, we need to have God in control of our heart. Jesus said that what comes out of your mouth is a reflection of what is in your heart. Therefore, when I go home and I reflect on my speech, if my speech is of God, then God must be in control of my heart. But if my speech is not of God, then who's in control? Well, James tells us it's Satan. Evil is Satan. And evil is what controls our heart when God does not. There isn't a third person. There are two sides. And so we want God to be in control, and that's what James is driving at. God needs to be in control. And the way that you control, that you can control your tongue is to let God be in control of your heart. Then what comes out of your heart will be of God. That's why James started this out and said, you know what? If you could control your tongue, you would be well on your way to being perfect. Because if I can control my tongue, it's because God is in control of my heart. And if God is in control of my heart, then what comes out of my heart through my mouth will be of God. And if he is that much control over me, I am well on my way to being perfect because he is in control. And that's what James is wanting of us. He's saying, you guys, all of us, anybody who's reading this letter, you guys need to let God be in control. Give God control of your heart. Let him be the one who makes the decisions. Let him be the one who decides what you do and where you go and what you say. And only when God is in control are you able to be used effectively by him for Jesus Christ and his kingdom. what we want. Right? Yes? Okay, good. If God's not in control of your heart and you want to change that, if you've never made that decision before, I want to invite you today to come forward. Because God wants to be in control in your heart. God wants you to spend eternity with Him. He sent Jesus Christ so that He would die and pay the price that you can't pay so that you could spend eternity with Him. And if you need to make that decision, I want to invite you to do that today. But you know what? If you've made that decision and you're still struggling with letting God be in control, or there are parts of your relationship with God that He's not in control, and you want to have some prayer over that, come forward. When we're getting ready to sing this song, come forward and we'll pray with you. And we'll share with you. And we'll walk with you while you go through that process. Because God wants you to be in that relationship. He wants to be in control of your heart. He wants to know that you are in relationship with Him. And that that relationship is right. And when we do that, then we begin to be used by Him effectively. That doesn't mean He can't use you. It just means the most effective used person is the one who God is in complete control over. And so to be used most effectively by Him in your walk, in your work, at school, in the community, you need to let God be in control of your heart. So if that's something you need to do, I want to encourage you to come forward this morning. Let's go to Him right now in prayer. Father, we thank You. We thank You, God, because You love us so much. We thank You because You gave James these words to write to us, not just so that we could be made to feel guilty, but rather, Father, so that You could encourage us, so that James could tell us, look, we need to be in better relationship with God. We need to let God be in control in our life. And the way to have a pure speech is to have a pure heart. Jesus tells us that our heart controls what we say. And so, Father, we want to have a relationship where You are in control of our heart and You give us guidance and You give us direction. And therefore, whatever we say and do will be because You are leading us. Father, I pray that You would help us to understand that. Help us to look in our own hearts this week. Help us to ask You to be in control and to turn that control over to You, God. Our tendency is to say we want You to be in control, but not to give up control. And Father, I pray that You'll help us to do that this week, to give You the control in our lives, to give You the control in our heart, to purify us and make us holy before You so that You can use us as Your tools. We ask this, Father, in the name of our Savior Jesus, so that all the glory and honor goes to Him.